Get abstract. Knowledge compressed.
On the face of it, migration is not complex. Poor people move to more prosperous countries. War-torn people flee. But it generates multifaceted effects. In Exodus, published by Oxford University Press, economics professor Paul Collier, author of The Bottom Billion, considers the economic, social, and political ramifications of migration. Get Abstract recommends his insights to anyone trying to get a handle on some of the factors that shape this critically relevant subject. Few issues are as complex and controversial as migration. While the public seems to applaud refugees for fleeing oppressive poverty, it simultaneously criticizes them for abandoning those left behind, and it debates refugees' potential impact on the countries they enter. National migration policies differ greatly. Japan doesn't permit immigration. Dubai's resident population is 95% foreigners. Australia and Canada have stricter education demands for immigrants than the United States. Some countries rapidly grant citizenship rights to migrants. Others insist migrants assimilate slowly. Reaching an objective evaluation of migration policy proves nearly impossible, since immigration policies spring from subjective moral principles and values. Nationalism and immigration restrictions are strongly correlated. Immigration advocates may view opposition to immigration as racism. A thoughtful evaluation of migration must consider its impact on the migrants, who typically overcome formidable obstacles to leave their homelands, but can realize considerable financial gains in new countries. The people who migrants leave behind, do their situations deteriorate, or do they benefit from the support from relatives abroad? And the indigenous people, what are the economic and social ramifications of immigration on a host society's underprivileged citizens? The question is not whether migration's consequences are positive or negative, but how much is appropriate. The answer depends on how quickly migrants assimilate. Their impact remains strictly economic in societies that regard migrants only as laborers. But generally, migrants blend into society and boost multiculturalism. The speed at which migrant families embrace the standards and culture of their new societies largely depends on the countries to which they move. Immigrant children raised in the U.S. invariably adopt American values. However, children of European immigrants resist absorbing a host country's national identity more so than their parents. In America, the larger a community's immigrant population, the lower the trust levels between immigrants and indigenous people. The rate at which migrants and native populations merge depends on the size of the cultural gaps that separate them. Four narratives typically delineate different migrant populations. First, they arrive in a foreign country intending to accept the culture and assimilate. Second, they expect to blend in while adding a bit of distinctive cultural flavor to the society. Third, they plan to remain culturally separate while participating economically. And fourth, they want to spread their culture among the native population. Assimilation benefits all groups. Immigrants who are willing to learn the host nation's language equip themselves to function more effectively in society. Stronger trust levels between immigrants and indigenous populations increase the likelihood of intermarriage and the establishment of a common legacy and identity. Immigrants seeking to impart their culture create a positive environment that encourages open-mindedness and acceptance. The most popular national dish in Britain is chicken tikka, which a British immigrant created by fusing his cultural know-how with an existing desire for fast food. Without governmental intervention, immigrants tend to populate areas where fellow immigrants already reside. Some countries, such as Canada, have required immigrants to settle in particular areas. Immigrants to England increasingly favor certain cities and make up the majority of London's population. Nearly 50% of England's Bangladeshi immigrants live in the London borough of Tower Hamlets. Separatism, though harder to quantify, has become more recognizable, possibly due to the rise of Islamic fundamentalism. In France, second-generation Muslim immigrants are more hesitant than their parents to allow their children to eat in school cafeterias. In Britain, many Bangladeshi women wear full veils, even though the women in Bangladesh don't wear them. Rates of assimilation tend to be slower when poorer immigrants migrate to prosperous societies. The incoming migrants often face racism and job discrimination, pushing them to remain separate. Government policies greatly influence the mindsets of both migrant and indigenous populations. Immigrants tend to protect their cultural uniqueness in countries that promote multiculturalism. Migrants assimilate more slowly when they benefit from welfare systems. Immigrants make the labor market more efficient and productive, thus enabling business owners to pay higher wages. However, the assumption that unchecked migration would seriously reduce wages for indigenous workers is not reasonable. Migration's effects on wages pale in comparison to its impact on housing, since poor immigrants and indigenous impoverished people often compete for the same low-cost or social housing. Host countries must wrestle with a politically and ethically charged issue of whether migrants should have access to social housing. Economists look favorably upon the migration movement based on three suppositions. First, migrants ultimately benefit society over time. In the U.S., immigrants are responsible for a disproportionate number of patented inventions. Second, migrant families have a greater drive to succeed. The children of immigrants in the U.S. are better educated and make more money than children born as American citizens. Third, migrants can compensate for shortages in the labor force. Germany recruited skilled Asian workers to address an information technology labor scarcity in the 1990s. In the 1970s, Britain recruited nurses from throughout the Commonwealth. Companies capable of importing talent may become reluctant to invest in training indigenous workers. Effective government migration policy should prevent migration from spinning out of control rather than stopping it completely. Generally, moderate migration produces mostly positive economic effects and ambiguous social consequences for the local population. Migration's impact largely depends on the country and population it affects. Thinly populated countries are likely to benefit in the long run. More densely populated countries may enjoy a short-term economic boost, but could face complicated and protracted social difficulties. Migration benefits those who move from poor countries to richer ones. Though not all immigrants receive high wages, they earn more than their counterparts in poor countries. This productivity gap stems from systematic differences in particular countries' social models. Migrants should also evaluate the financial health of the countries they contemplate entering. Many citizens of poor countries would like to migrate, but they face financial and legal obstacles. Someone making less than $2,000 annually would have to save for years just to afford transportation. They would ideally recoup their investment once they migrated, but no one has any guarantee of employment. Restrictions on immigration into high-income countries are the other major hindrance. Most countries impose educational and professional requirements. Migrants often resort to illegal means to enter a host country. They might pay off a visa officer in the host country's local embassy or try to use other people's passports or other legal documents. An extreme option, while costly and dangerous, is to enter a country illegally, typically with the help of professional smugglers. One big question is whether host societies should focus on self-interest or consider the interest of every group when they establish migration policies. Refusal to limit individual freedom could facilitate mass exoduses from poor countries and create immigrant majorities in host countries. Sensible migration policy takes into account immigrants, the countries they leave behind, and the indigenous population. Ideally, migrants would return to their native lands after upgrading their education. Though migration, over time, has not damaged the poor people left behind or the populations of host countries, policymakers need preventive policies, not reactive ones.
For more summaries on this and other topics, visit getabstract.com.